I'm getting ready to head out to visit a few counties here in southern Indiana. I did so yesterday as well, and head up to Indy tomorrow afternoon after the French Lick RV get-together. I'm keynoting that at lunch and then have the State of the State. So it's being governor, you get up early, go to bed late.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95.
Hey, Governor Braun, Happy New Year. It's great to have you back on. First off, how was your Christmas?
I mean, it was really good. It was the first time ever we spent it outside of Jasper, and we had all four kids and spouses and all seven grandkids up at the governor's residence and 5 days together, and it was kind of like almost taking a vacation, so to speak, from, you know, what we've done in the past. But, sure. Yeah, it was a good Christmas.
That's awesome. Was there any gift that you were really excited about giving or getting?
Well, when it comes to gift giving, my wife owns a home accessory and gift store. So we, over the years, kind of simplified that to where our needs are very simple. And we generally do something mostly for the kids and grandkids. And I like to hunt and fish. And when it got down to where I was asking for ammunition, she said, that's not a good Christmas gift.
So. I know. My father-in-law was the same way. When it got down to brass tacks of, I guess, a pair of socks will do it this year.
Yeah.
He thought, you guys can just save your money. Thank you very much. Well, I'm glad you guys had a great Christmas. And boy, you're not kidding. January is definitely going to be busy for you guys. And first off, congratulations on a great first year in office. You know, I know that obviously the accolades are out there and they're online, but why don't you tell me, start off with some of your under-the-radar achievements that you were personally proud of for your first year as the governor.
Well, you know, when you say under the radar, you got to remember, other than you and a few others, there's not a lot of praise you get from mainstream media when you're a conservative, kind of an entrepreneurial governor. They don't like the fact that you'd be trying to shrink government, make it run more efficiently. And I think under the radar, it's still, you hear it all the time, the affordability issues. And obviously that was given to us as a problem from the Biden administration when inflation nearly went up over the 3 years, 22, 23, and 24, by 25%. And you don't get rid of inflation. The only way is to have deflation, and that's generally a recession or a severe one. And, of course, many, many, many years ago, you have a depression. So that is there as a new baseline. So you saw taxpayers, you know, really out there in, you know, the state of we can't take it anymore. And so property taxes was the big issue that we dealt with. That wouldn't be under the radar. But some of the things, and we'll get to that in a moment, economic development, the IEDC was run behind closed doors, benefiting just a few in just a few areas. I completely replaced the entire board, emphasized transparency, and instead of spending a fortune on trying to get companies that all other states might be competing with, and you got a small chance of getting anyway, we've been focusing on three different approaches. Don't miss out on the best of, like, the biosciences and technology companies, but we're going to try to help existing businesses across the state that are already investing in this state, and especially Main Street and entrepreneurs. That's a different approach. And when we are incentivizing, in just a year, we took the average incentive per job from $55,000 down to about $17,000 and raised wages from $36 to $41. That's a win-win. Most places just look at, and administrations, how much can you spend? They don't have metrics on, are you spending too much for what you're getting? And in the real comparison, our peer state competitors, our GDP grew at double the rate that of Illinois and Ohio, three times that of Kentucky, six times the rate of Michigan. So we're standing out on economic development, which impacts jobs and wages more than probably any state across the country, especially in the Midwest.
Well, congratulations, Governor Braun. It's a shame that, you know, you opened with that. You hear a lot of the negativity that you get pushback from, because obviously those voices sometimes are the loudest. But you really do need to know you and your entire staff have done a great job with this first year, and there are people cheering you on behind the scenes. They might not be as loud, but they're cheering you on.
Well, and that's great to hear, because when I mentioned property taxes, that was something that teed me off, where the Senate gave us Senate Bill 1 and then completely gutted it down to almost nothing, had to be rebuilt in the House, and it took nearly the entire first session to end up with, no, it wasn't what many of us wanted in terms of going further, but it passed by 2 votes. And when you look at it, it saves $1.5 billion for taxpayers over the next 3 years. That's a lot. And for farmers, homeowners, and even multifamily housing where rent is impacted, your exemption starts now roughly at around 40 to 45%. And in 5 years, that's up to 66%. So you'll have two-thirds of those assets exempted, and it allows local governments and school districts to adapt yearly, because they sadly are the main complainers about what we did with property taxes. I mean, you'll have some that were unrealistic in what you could get done, and they still are kind of upset about it, but most grassroots conservatives know there's a reality of what you can get done. You get as much done as you can. And when you look at results like that, that took the biggest issue that I campaigned on. I was disappointed that the Senate made us wrestle that hard to get the relief we got. And that was by just 2 votes. So there were many Republicans that voted against more relief, not like the redistricting, but close. And I think over time they'll get the message that they got to get with it if we want to really take Indiana to where it can go.
Well, I also know one of your top priorities, too, is keeping Indiana residents safe. And I know along with that, that becomes, you know, removing the drugs from Hoosier communities. And why don't you elaborate a little bit on 2025, what you guys did as far as that's concerned?
Well, we have been partnering with the Trump administration to make sure that people that came into the country illegally and committed a crime, you can see that's on the national front currently, and the people that were for open borders, sanctuary states and cities, they did that in a calculating way, because the more illegal immigrants that come in, they get counted into the census. And each district is comprised of 750,000 people. You can do the math over time of what 20 to 25 million illegal immigrants have done just on the electoral side. But this is where many have come in when you get completely open borders, and the number of criminals and folks that have come across, you know, it's still a relatively small percentage, but it's significant when you look at what you would not have had to do if our borders had been secure. The Trump administration did that. Now it's allowing, like when I put a new superintendent in place, Anthony Scott, he brought along a really good individual, Chris Hill, strongly supported by the state police rank and file. In just a short period of time, we've been able to do things like, we had a big cocaine seizure that came into the state. We've decreased 117% increase on opioids that we've been able to get by stepping up patrols. 60% decrease, this is amazing, in overdose deaths from 24 to 25. From 1,610 down to 562.
That's great.
Imagine the families that were impacted by those prior policies. Yeah. You're seeing stuff like that. And when we made it that top priority, including OWI, arrests increased by 17%, traffic fatalities down again from 25 to 24 by 21.3%. You got a lot of stats there, but you got to flesh it out, because that's what you get when you're being kind of entrepreneurial in your approach and you're not being timid on the things you don't need to be timid on. So our public safety is up as good as it's ever been as a state. We now need to focus on places like Indianapolis, where they need to do a better job in their own jurisdiction.
Yep. And I know that keeping Indiana residents safe from impaired drivers is something that you guys are doing.
Yeah, that showed up in that statistic of OWI arrests up by 17%. And again, traffic fatalities, many of which are related to that, down by 21%. Great numbers.
I mean, just the near 1,000 kids that, actually are still alive and got to be with their parents this year. I mean, that's something that we should be clapping and everybody should be cheering about.
No doubt about it. And we're just getting started.
Well, I know we talked a little bit on the historic property tax relief bill, and I appreciate that myself personally. But why don't you elaborate a little bit more, too, on kind of the quality education and ensuring quality education here in Indiana?
Well, we have been a leader and have been striving for it for a long time. And universal school choice is finally a reality in Indiana. Previous governors have tried to get it there. We did it this year. We increased pay entry-level teachers by $5,000 a year. And the stat that really showed up, and Katie Janner, who's the Secretary of Education, is a rock star. She was from the previous administration. When I saw what they were working on, I liked it and kept her. And then we had a stat that was amazing. Third graders showed a 5% improvement in their iRead scores. That's the most movement.
Wow.
In 1 year that we've seen ever in the state and probably across the country. And the thing that most people may not realize, but I need to shout it out, our great Purdue University has frozen tuition and mandatory fees for 13 years. I ask all the other public universities, including Ivy Tech, to do the same thing, and that was in effect for this year and next year. So that was something that I don't know if people even realize it, but that's a big deal. And when Purdue was able to do it for all those years, that was a layup to get the others done. Nobody had asked them to do it before, in prior administrations. We did, and we'll try to get that to continue for everyone, even when that expires, especially with Purdue leading the way.
And, I know a lot of people are listening and going, okay, I appreciate everything you've done, and the first year has been a success. Now tell me a little bit more about 2026 here and how life is going to be better for me as an Indiana resident and be more affordable.
Well, the number one cost that impacts us all, proudest thing I've done, would be outside of government when I fixed health care by basing it on prevention and wellness, not expensive remediation, got my own employees involved in their own well-being. We cut costs in our own plan by over 50% 18 years ago and have not had a premium increase. We're going to weave all those principles into our state employee plan and then hopefully through pooling and association get that available to all individuals and businesses. It is a tapeworm on the economy. It's the biggest sector of our economy. It needs to shrink by about half. Mm. When it comes to the thing I hear most currently, it would be utility rates. Again, a kitchen table issue. I was able to reassign three new members or reappoint to the IURC that makes the final decisions on any rate case. They're all ratepayer conscious. I appointed a new individual, Abby Gray, to the Office of Utility Counselor. In the first request that has come along, she not only denied a big increase, she suggested 10% decrease. That case will be settled in April. So we're going to make sure that electric rates, utility rates, aren't rubber stamped for the utilities, that ratepayers, businesses, and individuals are kept in mind. And even when it comes to data centers, which are a big boon to some rural counties especially, if a hyperscaler wants to come in, they're going to pay for the energy production. They're going to put more electrons onto the grid and ideally lower rates. We got to be careful there. You've seen some of them run into trouble, and that's smart to be careful there because we do not have the electrons currently to give to these big users. You got to make sure that they pay their way if they want to come here to do business, and they will be a benefit to a lot of rural counties. So be careful with it. All other areas of cost, by keeping regulations low, keeping a friendly tax environment, which we're going to do, and then probably the proudest thing When I came in, I reorganized state government. It was a sprawling enterprise, 30,000-plus employees, no organizational chart. You had no, like, executive VPs that you'd have in a business, on a big business. Nothing could get done. Nothing could get up the flagpole in terms of good ideas. I've got 8 entrepreneurs running the policy areas. We're running government 5 to 10% more efficiently. That's showing up. We had that austere budget forecast that we've already shed because it was based upon a faulty premise of tariffs and asking government to run more efficiently. Our cash flow is in excellent shape, and we will either lower taxes and fees over time, emphasis on that, and if we reinvest in things, it's going to be an excellent ROI in things like education, healthcare, and ways that we can keep the cost for Hoosiers down. That's going to be the approach in general.
Well, Indiana residents and Freedom 95 listeners, if you have not listened to these last 15, 20 minutes of what Governor Braun has laid out of what he's done and what he's going to do, you know, you should be pretty excited because there's a lot coming forward for the new year. We'll be praying for you here, Governor. And I just off the cuff here, one last thing here. Do you have any predictions for the IU football game in the national championship next Monday?
Well, I've been watching it closely. I was lucky enough to be at the Ohio State game when we won the Big Ten championship, and we'll be down there with many other Hoosiers to cheer them across the finish line. Now, what an amazing story. Coach and players that, you know, were kind of pieced together from around the country. And when you go from the actual cellar dweller to the best team
no kidding.
In college football, I think that is the basis of some type of movie. I just want to get it across the finish line next Monday. And I think they're going to do it. Cignetti is an amazing coach and a team of kids that weren't expected to do what they've done. That is the basis of Hoosier humility and overperformance. And let's get it there and go Hoosiers.
Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for your time, Governor. Like I said, we're excited for 2026. Let us know if we can do anything for you. And I hope you have a great rest of your day and safe travels out there visiting the southern counties.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.